Thy will be done. Have you just been letting that guide your prayer? If you can borrow from some other traditions, almost a mantra. Thy will be done. Today there's another verse in that seventh chapter of Matthew that I want to set alongside of this. It's found in the seventh chapter in the 21st verse. It's actually in that same collection of messages found Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 called the Sermon on the Mount. And there's been debate, is this a collection of sermons or just did Jesus really have a real long sermon one day? But Matthew has collected them all together. And in that is, in the sixth chapter is, Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way, and this line is there. In the seventh chapter, he talks a little further about God's will. And in the seventh chapter, in the 21st verse, Jesus says, only those who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter heaven. Do. Sometimes we get all hung up with thy will be done and sovereign God and God's going to have his way regardless. And we miss a very important factor. Submission. Jesus said, only those who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter heaven. Oh, the question comes, how can I discover God's will? In a book, Mystery of God's Will, Charles Swindoll makes some suggestions. God leads us through his written word, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, through the counsel of wise, qualified, trustworthy people, by giving us an inner assurance of peace. Well, let's just look at these briefly. God leads us through his written word. That's where we always start. If you want to find God's will, first place you start is, what does the Bible say? That's the beginning. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Apostle Paul, writing to his student Timothy, says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the child of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good nap. Right? Every good work. Come back to that. Thy will be done is a submission to doing God's will. God leads us through his written word. God leads us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit. This prompting is illustrated in a comment by King David. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. That prompting, that nudging in the quiet times, be it the middle of the night or driving down the street, or you know, you're doing a task that you've done so often, your mind is somewhere else while you're doing it, and there's this voice that comes and you begin realizing, wait a minute. Or something different. Can't describe it, can't define it, but there's just something that's there. It's the work of the Holy Spirit deep within. Jesus taught the Counselor, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Have there ever been those times in which there's this verse of Scripture that just comes, or a song that just comes from, you have no idea where? You're saying, what triggered that? That's one of two sources. One source is life and the devil. One is the Holy Spirit bringing things to our mind. The prophet Isaiah, this is an Old Testament passage, talks about in the time of trouble, there will be this quiet voice saying, this is the way. This is the way. Follow it. It's that little voice that sort of keeps coming back and coming back. And you begin to realize there's something different, and I'm not sure I like it. If you want a story of this quiet voice of God, read the story of the ancient prophet Elijah. It's found in the first book of Kings, chapter 19. God speaks to Elijah, redirecting, encouraging him in a very still, quiet voice. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God leads us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit. God leads us through the counsel of wise, qualified, trustworthy people. God raises us up in community, doesn't it? Proverbs have some interesting comments about advice. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Oh, I know, you get too many sources of advice and you get really confused. What the opposite is, you don't get any advice. Or another comment from the Proverbs, for lack of guidance, a nation fails, but many advisors make victory sure. As we're going through this process of selecting my successor as pastor, one of those is Dr. Ken Mills, voice of experience, our district superintendent. And he's leading us through an interesting process. And sometimes you feel, can we hurry up and get the job done? Well, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. See, the Word of God, Holy Spirit, trustworthy counsel. They all work together, and time. I've picked up a video a few weeks ago. I'm not ready for it yet, but it says, wait. The number of, if you think about sometime, look it up in your concordance and start reading about wait. Oh, by the way, maybe you better not. You won't like it. God works His way. Finally, God leads us into His will by giving us an inner assurance of peace. Wow. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in that famous letter to the Colossians and to us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I must admit, this is the tough one for me. Now, sometimes I have confidence of what we're supposed to do is right. But it's just so loaded with danger. And my stomach just churns. But in the middle of it, a confidence. We're dealing with children's school for this next year under that same, I have a confidence we're doing the right thing. I'm telling you what, it's scary. And I appreciate those of you that are come along and joined together in prayer, direction, inner assurance of peace. God leads us through His written word, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, through counsel of wise, qualified, trustworthy people, giving us an inner assurance of peace. Next week, I was going to use some of those points and talk about directions for selecting a new pastor, because the Bible does give some pretty clear directions. We'll put it off for a couple weeks. Next week, we've got the Rissers and the Following Week Bible School. But then I'm going to be sharing you some really clear direction of Scripture. Very, very clear. Okay? As we move through the process. But in this prayer, "Thy will be done," I want to come to this statement of Jesus. A message found in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And I just want to read it for you, can I? Thank you. I'm glad you said I could. Can I just warn you? This one has some statements that are unnerving, upsetting, and a lot of people don't like it. But this is Jesus. You ready? Buckle your seatbelt. Jesus taught, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to destruction is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify that by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we preached in your name, cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.' Anyone who listens to my teachings, or to my teaching and follows it, is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood rise, waters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Do you realize the number of people that want to remove those paragraphs? Wow. Let's just look at a few of these statements. Friends, Jesus is the gate to the kingdom of heaven. There is no other. Again, I tell you, the kingdom of heaven, also known as the kingdom of God, is more than just future beyond this life. It's life lived today with Jesus as King. A friend of mine did a posting recently. We Christians, we're just guests on earth. Earth and this day are hosts. We're really headed on toward home. But we live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven today. Jesus said, the highway to destruction is broad. Its gate is wide, and many will be there will be who choose that way. The word for destruction is the word Apollyon, from which you get the name of the demon Apollyon. An underling of Satan, demon of the abyss in Revelation chapter 9. The highway to the abyss of destruction is broad. Its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. What does that say to those who say all will be saved? Jesus went on to say, the gateway to life is narrow, the road is difficult, and only a few will find it. The Apostle Peter taught, there is salvation and no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Jesus is the only way. Oh, I understand the questions that rise. What about those who have never heard of Jesus? And that's between God and them. But I know for us, my concern is, are we following Jesus as Lord, or are we trying to make our own path? Jesus first. Jesus our Lord. Jesus first and foremost. Jesus. Now we're told, Jesus went on to say, citizens of heaven will produce the fruit of righteousness. You can identify false prophets and teachers by their fruit. Is it just teachers and prophets? A good tree produces good fruit. Listen to what the scripture says. Followers of Jesus seeking his will be producing fruit of righteousness, also known fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. It's my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. In that passage, Jesus said, my Father is the gardener, and he prunes the branches so that they produce better. It doesn't mean we're always doing it very well. If you looked at those fruits, you're going, God is shaping, pruning, teaching, developing in us that fruit. He wants us to produce not some fruit, much fruit. It's my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Oh, Jesus said, every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. What kind of fruit are you producing? Jesus goes on to talk about a final judgment. It is coming. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom. Many will say to me, "Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, performed miracles in your name." But I will say, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." Jesus went on to say, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. Following the way of Jesus and genuinely praying, "Thy will be done," is a challenge. John tells us in the 6th chapter of his account of the gospel, many who heard the words of Jesus rejected his demands, turned away, and no longer followed him. The way of Jesus is not easy. Jesus said, only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter heaven. Friends, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of God someday. Taught in the letter to the Romans, taught in the letter to the Hebrews, all throughout Scripture. Therefore, the Scripture says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But life itself will reveal true faith in Christ. When we build our lives in Christ and stay rooted, the storms will come, and there's going to be some tough days. God is shaping and leading us. So here's the question. And I believe it's going to be the ultimate question as we stand before God. Did you seek and do my will? A lot of us are going to have a lot of excuses. But as I listen to this, did you seek and do my will? Quote from Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot and her husband were missionaries in South America. Her husband was killed by the Aka Indians of Ecuador in 1956. A few years later, Elizabeth Elliot made her way back to that very same tribe in a great missionary work. What a phenomenal story. She just died this past summer, recently. Elizabeth Elliot wrote, "I realized that the deepest spiritual lessons are not learned by his letting us have our way in the end, but by his making us wait, bearing with us in love and patience until we are able to honestly pray what he taught his disciples to pray. Thy will be done." Let's keep working on it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I invite you to pray that prayer in song with Ben.